Okay, it's time for another GoldSeek.com Radio Gold Nugget segment. Today's featured guest, Peter Schiff from Schiff Gold. Peter Schiff, chairman of Schiff Gold, located at schiffgold.com, author of several bestsellers, and he is doing video logs and a radio host and wearing a lot of hats right now. Welcome back, Peter Schiff.
Thanks for having me back, Chris.
Gold recorded its best move in a month last week. You know, we had the Fed meeting announcement, a key date for the interest rate. That's a shift in guidance, you know, away from the extended period talk we'd heard in earlier meetings. It looks like a rate hike in about 3 months. You're on record saying, who cares? We know this. It's one and done likely. Tell us what's going on here.
Well, look, I've been saying for a long time that I don't believe the Fed really has any intention of raising rates. And if they do so, it's only because they feel they're backed into a corner and they have to raise them, you know, ceremoniously. But they're going out of their way to say that even if we raise interest rates, don't worry about it because we're not likely to raise them again anytime soon. And if we do, it's going to be by a tiny amount. So it's really like they're trying to have their cake and eat it too. They're trying to raise rates without raising rates because the Fed recognizes that this bubble will pop if they actually raise rates to a level that the markets believe. And so they have to, you know, dial back those expectations in order to ultimately save face. I believe they're probably not going to raise rates at all. But we'll see. I mean, they may, you know, bow down to some pressure and have like a, you know, a trivial, superficial kind of rate hike just so they can say they did it, but then do everything they can to say they're not going to do it again, which really undercuts the significance of the rate hike in the first place. And I think if the precious metals market understood this, the price of gold would be much higher than it is today.
Rates have been on the rise on just a percentage basis. We've had some of the sharpest increases in yields in the U.S. Treasury in years.
Yeah, well, you're talking about that's the market raising rates.
Yeah.
Because it thinks the Fed is going to raise them too. But the market, I believe, is wrong. What's going to cause the market to raise rates is going to be the realization that the Fed is way behind the inflation curve, that inflation is a much bigger problem than is generally acknowledged, and that it's going to run out of control. So eventually, interest rates are going to really skyrocket on the long end, and there's nothing the central banks are going to be able to do to contain that.
Well, you know, higher rates typically a negative for stocks, U.S. equities, and somewhat for the precious metals. We did see higher rates in the 70s, though, and you still had your massive run in the precious metals. How do you expect the markets to react this time around?
Yeah, the enemy of the markets is not higher nominal rates, but higher real rates. So the metals market didn't respond to high rates until Volcker got in front of the curve and got rates up to 20%. Now, the ability of the U.S. Federal Reserve to do that again is non-existent based on the enormity of the debt and the short-term nature of that debt. So we do not have the ability to fight inflation successfully the way it was done in the 1970s, early 1980s. And so I think gold is just going to rise. The only question is how fast and by how much.
You're calling for a buy the rumor dollar, sell the dollar fact after a rate hike, should it come to pass. That sounds like good news for commodities and precious metals. You've also gone on record noting that the U.S. dollar has had its run. Essentially, what we saw, the stealth 9-10 month rally, was a result of that expectation or anticipation of the Fed allowing rates to climb.
Yeah, meanwhile, the U.S. economy is continuing to disappoint the bulls who have to constantly revise downward their forecasts as we get, you know, all these numbers and misestimates. The one exception recently has been some of the housing sales data. But again, I think a lot of that is skewed. We did have, you know, some very weak housing numbers in the winter, so we got a little bit of a boost. And I do think that a lot of the home buyers are trying to jump the gun, get ahead of the Fed. Everybody's talking about how rates are going to go up, which means mortgage rates. And so I think some people are trying to buy a house before the rates go up, and they can no longer afford the house or qualify for the house. Of course, you know, if housing prices go down, that would help, but people usually don't expect that. But I think if you look at the real numbers on housing, they're still very weak. Home ownership rates are languishing at, what, 20 or 30-year lows, and rents keep rising. You know, they're rising every year at rates that far exceed the CPI because Americans can't afford to buy, and so more and more are renting, and there's not enough rental supply, so the prices just keep on rising.
And I think we're also seeing a glut of inventory from institutions, hedge funds, et cetera, purchased up, foreclosures at fire sale prices over, 2008, 2009, 2010. And I'm seeing inventory hit the market. I mean, if you take a look at realtybid.com, last time I saw that was 2008, 2009.
Most of this is still shadow inventory. Most of these houses are still not on the market, but that can change very quickly, especially if the Fed were to raise rates, which is one of the reasons why they won't, is that would put more pressure on these speculators to put these empty houses on the market for sale. And, of course, they would be coming to the market precisely as higher interest rates was making them less affordable for real buyers. So, this is another bubble that the Fed has blown.
Tell us a bit more about the Greek drama. This Grexit Athens and its creditors are clearly caught in an impasse. They're taking an extension here. It looked like it was all over as of Monday. They're trying to keep the ball rolling. Ultimately, does Greece leave the EU? And what does that mean for the Eurozone?
I think it's better for the Eurozone if they leave. But, of course, everybody is trying to convince them to stay. And, I said that the Greek politicians, the way they get elected, rather, is to promise to fight back against the austerity and maybe leave the Eurozone. But once they're in power, practically speaking, that's not a viable option for them. So they basically can talk tough, but they've got to cave in. And, and that's what they're doing in some respects. The deal that they floated doesn't involve any debt forgiveness. It doesn't bring an end to their so-called austerity. It does include some trivial window dressing type pension reform, which really doesn't go far enough to really solve the problem. They do have tax hikes, which are going to actually worsen the problem. You've got tax hikes, the value-added tax going up, but more importantly or more destructively, they're going to raise the income tax rate and they're going to impose a special new wealth tax. All that will end up increasing tax evasion, which is a problem there, and tax avoidance as more people try to move out of Greece. Then that just exacerbates the pressure on the economy as you whittle away the tax base and your employers. So this really extends the problem. It pushes off any kind of default into the future. That's why the German stock market had a big rally. That's why the euro sold off, because it means more money printing, to delay the inevitable. Gold actually declined as well. It got back above 1,200 because of the Fed dovish talk about rates, but then now it's back down around the 1180-ish. Because now the perception of a safe haven for Greece is no longer as appealing, as people say, oh, the Greek problem is over, so let's sell gold, as if gold had even rallied based on worries about Greece. So I think that this is a buying opportunity again in gold. I think Greece is a sideshow. The main event is the U.S. and some of the other larger economies that have bigger problems than Greece. And so when people start focusing on that, the safe haven bid is going to come back to gold in a big way.
The safe haven bid is coming back in a big way in the state of Texas. I mean, we've certainly heard of Venezuela, Switzerland, Netherlands, so many countries over the past few years that have started this repatriation theme. But now one of our own states wants its gold back. The Lone Star State is demanding. Is this just a symbolic event?
It's symbolic of the fact that there's a lack of trust in the Fed, and people are starting to worry that they might actually need their gold, and they don't want to be the ones that are told that it's not there. You want to get your gold before the other people ask for theirs. So I think this is a trend that's going to gain some momentum, because the reality is, what if the Fed doesn't hold all the gold that it claims to hold? It's just like in any kind of a Ponzi scheme, right? You want to get your money out early while there's still some money to be had. Some of Bernie Madoff's initial investors got their money back, but when they busted the whole scam, it was on the news, well, it was too late. So I think there are some people that want their gold. That's why I recommend, through Shift Gold, I tell people, store your own gold. Don't just trust it to some ETF. Have it in your hands. That's what the state of Texas wants. They don't want to trust a third party. They want their own gold.
Maybe another question down the road is whether or not this starts a trend. You know, we saw a few of the Western states, I don't know, maybe it was Utah, Nevada, a few of these states, New England state, come up with the idea we need to have some type of backing for our currency, a state-backed currency, something, silver-backed. If Texas and maybe a few other states, New York and California, Florida, Illinois, if they start to demand their gold back.
Yeah, and there's nothing, you know, that legally that prevents the states from establishing gold and silver as legal tender in payment of debts, and you know, because the Constitution says that no state shall make anything but gold and silver legal tender. So, you know, if they're going to make anything legal tender, it's got to be gold and silver. You know, and so that's, you know, that's what we've been doing. That's why, you know, I pioneered at my offshore bank the first ever gold and silver backed debit cards, which enable individuals to open up bank accounts with my bank, denominate those accounts in gold or silver, and then spend their gold and silver the way anybody else spends their dollars or euros or yen, by accessing their debit card. You know, and so when you take your debit card and put it into an ATM machine, or you swipe it at a cash register, you know, we take some of the gold out of your account in order to cover your transactions. So it lets individuals put themselves on the gold standard. People, if they want information on it, you can go to bankyourgold.com. But, you know, unfortunately, we don't offer that service to Americans, right, because of the U.S. laws. But what we are working on, and it should be ready maybe by the end of the year or early next year, is we are working on launching a gold-backed digital currency. And the way that digital currency will work is it will only account holders at my bank can buy the currency and redeem the currency for gold, but anybody can hold it, which would include Americans. So if one of my bank customers were to, let's say, buy $1,000 worth of gold and opt to take delivery in my gold-backed digital currency, once they had it, they can spend it in America. They can buy goods or services from an American who can then take ownership of that digital currency. They can hold it, they can save it to spend in the future. They just could not redeem it themselves, but they could buy something from a Canadian or a European who could then take that digital currency to my bank and redeem it in gold.
You know, it sounds like a gold Bitcoin. It's going to be a big hit, I'm sure.
Well, it'll spend like a Bitcoin, except it'll have the stability of gold. So you're not going to have to worry about, hey, what's this digital currency going to be worth? You can buy $1,000 worth of Bitcoins, and, you know, they could be worth a nickel, you know, in 5 years. You don't know what they're going to be worth. Yeah, but if you get one of my digital currencies and you get an ounce of gold worth of my digital currency, it's always going to be worth an ounce of gold, right? So if an ounce of gold is worth more in a year, then your digital currency is worth more. If an ounce of gold is worth less, then your digital currency is worth less. But it's something, it's a reliable store of value, you know, unlike Bitcoin, which can't store any value and it has no reliability.
Imagine if Russian citizens and Greek citizens, Cypriot citizens all had access to this service that you're referring to.
Yeah, people in Cyprus will be able to buy, they'll be able to have accounts with my offshore bank. They'll be able to have gold and silver backed debit cards. They'll be able to have digital currency backed by gold. There's nothing that stops them. And of course, there's nothing that prevents other banks. Just because my bank is doing this, any bank could offer this service. It's just that they don't choose to do so. But it's not like I have to have any proprietary technology in order to do it. I mean, ultimately, there can be all sorts of gold-backed digital currencies circulating. There can be all sorts of banks that allow their depositors to save gold and silver versus a fiat currency. That could be the wave of the future. It's all about what the public wants. See, in a free market, right, the businesses satisfy the demands of the consumers. And when the consumers begin to demand real money, a reliable store of value, when they reject government fiat, then the free market is going to supply a solution. I'm already supplying it because I'm kind of on a leading edge of that. And so I want to get that market to myself, you know, because right now it's very small, but I do expect the market to grow over time.
In the sake of transparency, is this backed by physical gold or is this backed by a futures contract?
The actual physical gold that we store. You know, most of the gold that my bank stores is held at the Perth Mint in Australia. And we have an agreement with them where they actually hold our gold for us without any storage charges. And we pass on that free storage to our customers, which makes it all possible. You know, you buy some of these gold ETFs and the storage fees add up. I mean, it's kind of expensive to store your gold year after year. But we're able to do it without any storage fees, which really makes the program very attractive. And of course, you know, gold is not being printed, you know, like all these fiat currencies. And it used to be that if you had fiat currency in the bank, you could get a high rate of interest. Well, now you get no interest. And in some countries, it's negative interest.
But help us understand the mechanism behind this. Let's say that a big institutional client says, hey, I want to join Peter Schiff's gold-backed digital currency. And we're talking about, let's say, $1 billion, okay, flows into it. What physically happens at the vault here at the Perth?
Let's say we collected $1 billion in dollars, or in the equivalent of dollars in euros and yen and pounds or whatever currencies we got. We would then buy that gold from the Perth Mint, and the Perth Mint would warehouse the gold, you know, at its storage facility.
So you've got a symbiotic relationship going on here.
The reason the Perth Mint can store the gold for free is because they use the gold as part of their daily business. So it's like a funding. It's like they get gold inventory at no cost. They just have to protect it. You know, it's an unallocated program.
Any parting thoughts there?
So I wrote about this, you know, in my book, Crash Proof. Initially, I was like, I said, hey, this is what's going to happen. You know, banks are going to start to eventually offer depositors the ability to save and spend gold using a debit card. That's what, you know, kind of solves the problem of what makes a gold standard viable in the modern age, because it makes it as easy to spend gold as any other currency. But, you know, nobody really launched it until I did in 2012. It's interesting. The idea is gaining popularity. There's this service called BitGold that went public in Canada like a month or so ago. And they're hyping up the idea as if they thought of it themselves. You know, they're luring in a lot of unsuspecting investors because they're buying the stock with a market cap of over $200 million, despite the fact that, you know, they don't earn any money. They just use their inflated stock to buy gold money, which was Jim Turk's company. And so they now have a lot of gold that they do store. But, you know, Jim Kirk was losing money over at Gold Money. So they spent about 50 million Canadian worth of their stock to buy a company that's losing money. But yeah, I mean, they're basically copying my ideas and my concepts. They haven't even, you know, put them into implementation yet, really. I mean, they don't even have a card program. But one of the things that we're going to be launching, too, with our improved platform later in the year, when we basically fully integrate gold into our banking platform and our bank software looks at gold as a currency, you know, our bank customers also have brokerage accounts. And so, you know, we'll be able to let our customers buy stock and pay for it in gold, you know, buy bonds and pay for it in gold. I mean, they'll be able to use their gold like anybody else uses their, you know, their dollars. The difference is the gold's not going to lose value over time.
I mean, imagine having a debit card that's backed by gold. In other words, instead of a flimsy, nonsensical plastic gold card, you have a bullion gold card.
It's an actual gold card. It's not just the color gold. It's actually backed by real gold. But, you know, you keep it in your wallet. It's plastic like any other debit card. But, you know, if one of my customers has $50,000 worth of gold with me, they have $50,000 worth of gold in their wallet at all times. And it's not that my customers are anxious to spend their gold. They'd rather spend their fiat currency that's losing value. They don't necessarily want to spend their gold that's maintaining or increasing its value. But if there's an emergency, if somebody needs part of that gold at any moment, they can use it. You know, it's just you have all the liquidity at your fingertips, but you have it all stored safely, you know, offshore.
Tell people more about the books that you provide, the services that you have, as well as Euro Pacific Capital and ShiftGold.com.
Yeah, ShiftGold is my U.S.-based precious metals company. Anybody in the U.S. Or anywhere in the world, actually, who is desirous of owning physical gold and silver and having it in your possession can give us a call. We also don't rip anybody off. We don't do numismatics or any of these so-called collectibles. Very, very low prices, among the lowest anywhere online. So you can check us out at shiftgold.com. For people who are not American, who are interested in opening up bank accounts and having these debit cards, you can go to bankyourgold.com. It will take you directly to the page on my website of Europac Bank. Also, you know, we have a referral program, which is open to Americans. So if you're an American and you help us get customers, we do pay $50 in a referral. So there's a way to, you know, become a referring agent and make a little spare change for helping us get bank customers. And for people who want brokerage services, if you have bigger portfolios, if you want to do more than just buy gold, if you want to access global stock markets to buy stocks in the countries that I feel are in the best shape economically
and to try to get the best overall returns, you want to go to europac.com, E-U-R-O-P-A-C.com, and check out our services and talk to one of our brokers. And don't forget, you know, listen to my video blogs. I post them on my YouTube channel, The Schiff Report, my podcast at Schiff Radio. You can also listen to that on, you know, all kinds of iTunes and Stitcher and various places that host podcasts, or on my website, schiffradio.com. I do those podcasts. I'll probably be recording one a little later today, so I usually do a couple a week. And I've got plenty of books out there, I think six in all, the most recent being The Real Crash, America's Coming Bankruptcy, How to Save Yourself and Your Country, the revised edition. So you can start with that one.
Peter Schiff, we appreciate your time, and thank you.
Thank you.
Here is your mining quiz for the day, compliments of GoldSeek. Which company has the largest undeveloped gold reserve in North America? Seabridge Gold. Now, which company has the largest undeveloped copper reserve in North America? Seabridge Gold again. Seabridge has more gold reserves than Kinross, Yamana, and Agnico Eagle. Last year alone, Seabridge added 515 million tons of new inferred resources containing nearly 6 million ounces of gold and more than 6 billion pounds of copper at their giant KSM project in British Columbia, Canada. Now they are drilling at KSM again with multiple rigs in a 25,000-meter program. Find out more by visiting www.seabridgegold.net. Traded on the NYSE, symbol SA, and the TSX, symbol SEA.
GoldSeek employees may or may not own shares. Nothing contained herein should be construed as investment advice.